Blog Talk Radio.
This is Order Militaris Radio coming to you live on a Tuesday morning. Before we get to the show, and right before I connected the microphone to begin the countdown for the show to start, some interesting Twitter conversation going on. I am amazed how many Catholics have fallen into the trap of New Age occultism by the monk Keating and his group out of Kentucky, who claim they are part of the same order of Saint Bernard of Clairvaux. They are not, even though they wear the habit. These guys are super tricky. They've translated the works of the Desert Fathers and manipulated the actual words of the Desert Fathers to promote New Age occultism. I've had a personal run-in with one of their disciples in our diocese here in Kansas a few years ago, before I became homebound and ill. Tricky. Very tricky. If you didn't know what was going on, you would fall victim, hoodwinked, as many Catholics are. Thankfully, I had my St. Benedict rosary out and praying it and holding on to it. When something tripped the red flags of warning, I got my butt out of the parish church. Went to our local grotto of Our Lady of Lourdes and just knelt there in the grass and stickers and prayed to the rosary. I was upset. I was crying. I was like, what the heck's going on here? So I can understand the confusion of all these Catholics. It wasn't until the night everyone got back to their homes after the so-called Clinton Parish Mission, where this disciple of so-called Father Keating did his satanic stuff. Where we researched, contacted Church Militant, and we were contacting them back and forth almost the whole night. Then contacting everyone in the parish, sharing what church militant had said that this is New Age occultism, what was being preached, taught, shown, that it is not Catholicism. They're even so confused as to say what St. Teresa of Avila, St. John of the Cross, two church doctors, they say they taught that. No, they did not. That is a lie, that is heresy, and blasphemy. Two doctors of the church. What Father Keating and his disciples teach is called New Age Transcendental Meditation. And if you read the book, The Rite, The Making of the Modern Exorcist, you'll read in there by all the exorcists who say this form of New Age occultism, this form of New Age prayer is one of the many gateways to open yourself up, not just to demonic attacks, attachments, but full-fledged possession. That is why it's so serious to combat this wherever it is. To report whoever is teaching this garbage. To make sure they can no longer teach or preach in your diocese. Until you read The Rite, The Making of the Modern Exorcist. Sure, it has some scary parts. Where the author got to experience some stuff. Got to talk to new exorcists in training about what they witnessed. And just talking to them personally. And getting their advice, their instruction on how to notice spiritual attacks, spiritual obsession, everything. And what leads to it. So in my response to those people, I shared them an article, Avoiding the Dangers of Yoga, Mysticism, and New Age Occultism, which are all three connected. And finally, told them to get a copy of the book, The Rite, The Making of a Modern Exorcist. There they will learn things they have never learned before, and how to protect themselves. Now with that out of the way, let's get on to today's topic, which I covered a few days back in an open letter on the Ordo Militaris Radio website to the European Commission Court of Human Rights, deciding it is now illegal in Europe to tell the truth about the false prophet Muhammad, who's adulterer, pedophile, and murderer. Then yesterday, Gatestone Institute did an awesome report on it. I would like to share it with you to give my own few cents to the Human Rights Court. This is the Gatestone Institute report. The European Court of Human Rights has ruled that criticism of Muhammad, the founder of Islam, constitutes incitement to hatred, therefore is not protected to free speech. With its unprecedented decision, the Strasbourg-based court, which has jurisdiction over 47 European countries and whose rulings are legally binding on all 28 member states of the European Union, has effectively legitimized an Islamic blasphemy code in the interest of preserving religious peace in Europe. The case involves Elizabeth Sabadischk-Wolf, an Austrian woman who in 2011 was convicted of denigrating religious beliefs after giving a series of lectures about the dangers of fundamental Islam. Her problems began in November 2009 when she presented a three-part seminar about Islam to the Freedom Education Institute, a political academy linked to the Austrian Freedom Party, which today forms part of the Austrian government. A left-leaning weekly magazine, News, planted a journalist in the audience to secretly record the lectures. Lawyers for the publication then handed the transcripts over to the Venice Public Prosecutor's Office as evidence of hate speech against Islam, according to Section 283 of the Austrian Criminal Code. The offending speech was an offhand comment by Sadiq Wolf that Muhammad was a pedophile because he married his wife Alicia when she was just 6 or 7 years old. Sadiq Wolf, actually, words were a 56-year-old and a 6-year-old. What do we call it if it's not pedophilia? Indeed, most hadiths, collections of tradition containing the words and actions of Muhammad, confirm that Alicia was prepubescent when Muhammad married her. She was only 9 years old when the marriage was consummated. Muhammad's actions would today be unlawful in Austria, so Sabadiq Wolf's comments were factually, if not politically, correct. Formal charges against Sadiq Wolf were filed in September 2010, and her bench trial proceedings over by one judge and no jury began that November. On February 15, 2011, Sabadiq Wolf was convicted of denigration of religious beliefs of a legally recognized religion, according to Section 188 of the Austrian Criminal Code. This is unbelievable. Oh, man. My dear Austrians, where are you? Sorry, just pour me another cup of tea. I can't believe it. As the report continues, the judge rationalized that Muhammad's sexual contact with 9-year-old Alicia could not be considered pedophilia, because Muhammad continued his marriage to Alicia until his death. According to this line of thinking, Muhammad had no exclusive desire for underage girls. He was also attracted to older females because Alicia was 18 years old when Muhammad died. Excuse me. The judge ordered Sabariq's wolf to pay a fine of $550 or an alternative sentence of 60 days in prison. Moreover, she was required to pay the costs of the trial. Oh my word. So even though the conservatives have taken power in Austria under the new Prime Minister Sebastian Kurz, nothing has changed. Sadie's Wolf appealed the conviction to the provincial appellate court in Vienna, but the appeal was rejected on December 20, 2011. A request for the new trial was dismissed by the Austrian Supreme Court on December 11, 2013. Sadie's Wolf then took her case to the European Court of Human Rights, supranational court established by the European Convention on Human Rights. The court hears applications alleging violations of the civil and political rights set out in the convention. Relying on Article 10, freedom of expression of the convention, Sabariq's Wolf complained that the Austrian courts failed to address the substance of her statements in light of her right to freedom of expression. If they had done so, she argued, they would not have qualified them as mere value judgments, but as value judgments based on facts. Furthermore, her criticism of Islam occurred in the framework of an objective and lively discussion, which contributed to a public debate and had not been aimed at defaming Muhammad. Sabariq's Wolf also argued that religious groups had to tolerate even severe criticisms. The Human Rights Court ruled that states could restrict the free speech rights enshrined in Article 10 of the Convention if such speech was likely to incite religious intolerance and was likely to disturb the religious peace in the country. The court added, the court noted that the domestic courts comprehensively explained why they considered that the applicant's statements had been capable of rousing justified indignation, specifically, they had not been made in an objective manner, contributed to a debate of public interest, ergo, on child marriage, but only be understood as having been aimed at demonstrating that Muhammad was not worthy of worship. It agreed with the domestic courts that Mrs. S. must have been aware that her statements were partly based on untrue facts, apt to arouse some indignation in others. The National Court found that Mrs. S. had subjectively labeled Muhammad with pedophilia as a general sexual preference, and that she failed to neutrally inform her audience of the historical background. I'm trying not to blow my top here, folks. which consequently did not allow for a serious debate on the issue. Hence, the court saw no reason to depart from the domestic court's qualifications of the impugned statements as value judgments, which they had based on a detailed analysis of the statements made. The court found in conclusion that in the instant case of domestic courts carefully balanced the applicant's right to freedom of expression with the rights of others to have their religious feelings protected and to have religious peace preserved in Austrian society. The court held further that even in the lively discussion it was not compatible with Article 10 of the Convention to pack incriminating statements into a wrapping of an otherwise acceptable expression of opinion, and claimed that this rendered passable those statements, exceeding the permissible limits of freedom of expression. Lastly, since Mrs. S. was ordered to pay a moderate fine, and that fine was on the lower end of the statutory range of punishment, the criminal sanctions could not be considered as disproportionate. Under these circumstances, and given the fact that Mrs. S. made several incriminating statements, the court considered that the Austrian courts did not overstep their wide margin of appreciation in the instant case when over convicting Mrs. S. of disparaging religious doctrine. Overall, there hadn't been no violation of Article 10. What a bunch of baloney. Do you guys in the UN, Poland, Hungary, Czech Republic, Slovakia, the Baltic states who don't like the European Union, the Italians under Salvini, man, you guys just gotta break them apart and just get rid of this European Union. What a joke. She was recorded illegally. That left-leaning magazine put a reporter there undercover. Did not tell, this was not investigative journalists where journalists have to go undercover. This was a public event. And I'm sure the press was probably there. Yeah. Let's continue with the report. The ruling effectively establishes a dangerous legal precedent, one that authorizes European states to curtail the right to free speech if such speech is deemed to be offensive to Muslims and thus pose a threat to religious peace. The court's ruling will be welcomed by the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, a bloc of 57 Muslim countries that has long pushed for the European Union to impose limits on free speech when it comes to criticizing Islam. Pretty much this entire report talks about how it's the European Union's way of cracking down on what they call Islamophobia. How they don't want to hear the truth. How they'll take any and every action to stop people from telling the truth about Islam and Muhammad. What Mrs. S. said about Muhammad is factual, is true. It was in an open setting. Everyone could talk, give their few cents in the debate. Seemed like it went off with a hit. It was a hit. Now it's my turn to criticize the court. The men and women of the European Commission Court of Human Rights. You say Mrs. S. violated Section 10 by speaking about the man Muhammad. By claiming things and just asserting that all he must have been in pedophilia. No, he was a pedophile. When you look at the actions of these radical Islamic invaders in Europe today, what are they doing? They are predators, sexual predators. They're grooming young women, children, to be raped. They are kidnapping young girls to rape and to kill them. Look at the stories in England where a girl was raped and killed by an Islamic invader, a group of them. Read about the story, the video posted by Tommy Robinson, how a part of Yorkshire is under complete Islamic control. Look at how many lives have been ruined. Yes, ruined and destroyed since the Islamic invasion of 2015. You have little girls, young boys, at a concert in Manchester, when leaving, getting blown up. You have people sitting down to eat in restaurants in Paris. A few years ago, in November, getting shot at. Blown up. You have them at a death metal concert at the famous theater in Paris. A horror story. A real life horror story. Where they were shot. Blown up. The men's genitals cut off. Stubbed, shoved into their mouth. You have the same group of Islamic terrorists on the same night trying to disrupt a football game, a soccer game against the national team, while President Hollande was in the stands and blowing themselves up at the gates because they couldn't get in. And you have the Christmas market terrorist attack in Germany, where an Islamic terrorist invader takes a Polish truck driver's truck and drives it into the Christmas market, killing, maiming hundreds. You have the bombings in Brussels at their airports. You have the terrorist attack in Barcelona. You have them chanting that they want to conquer Rome and kill the Pope. We have them chanting to the Queen in the UK. And yet, these people in government who are friends of the European Union do nothing to protect their people. Nothing. That is why you're seeing wave after wave of elections going for those who are friends of America and Donald Trump winning their elections. After reading the report, before I thought Austria was going back to how it should be under the conservative government. But now I read it's still the same. Same leftist place they have been. Why do you hate Europe? Why do you hate Europe so much? To persecute the actual Europeans who stand up to these Islamic invaders, who stand up to these corrupt politicians. Say enough is enough. I'm not just speaking as a member of Ordo Militaris. I am speaking now as is my right and duty, my ancestral heritage. I don't like to use it, but when it's times like these, I must. I am of the Royal House of Wessex, the ancient House of Britain. That is Britton. Before Britain was spelled Britain. That was a royal house. My great grandfather, Saint King Edward the Confessor. I am of the Plantagenet family, of the Tudor family. Of the House of Stuart, of the House of Hanover, Royal House of Leon and Castile, of the Kingdom, I am a part of the Kingdom of Spain, my heritage. One of my great uncles, King Magnus I, king of Sweden. Otto the First, Holy Roman Emperor. My 50th great-grandfather. Possible Duke of Anjou. I am the Royal House of Capet, by King Hugh of Capet, my 45th great-grandfather. I'm also the Royal House of Bourbon, or the Royal House of Habsburg. Most of all, I am related thrice directly to Charlemagne. The French side, the German side, and the Italian side. He is my 57th, I'm his first cousin of 57 generations. So do not think I talk with a lot of air. I am calling you out. Have you forgotten our history? How many times we had to liberate Europe from Islamic invaders? What about at the Battle of Tours, where my 57th great-grandfather, Charles Martel, saved Western Europe from the Islamic invasion? What about the reconquest of Spain from Islam? You know what they lived under? Did you catch our show about the annihilation of the Christians in Iraq? I guarantee you it was pretty much exactly like that, where they couldn't call on the authorities, where their wives were being stolen, their daughters being stolen, churches burned down and desecrated. If it wasn't for my cousin Charlemagne, who started the reconquest, Spain would still be in the hands of Islam. And it's beginning to happen again. What about the great Catholic fleet of the Holy League, who defeated the Islamic invasion of Europe once again at the Battle of Lepanto? Then to my beloved Polish people, brave, strong, 100% Marian, trusted in her protection while the entire Polish army was removed to save Vienna with King John III Sobieski leading the winged hussars. Have we forgotten about that? What about the previous battles Sobieski had to lead as general and leader of the police force of Poland? And the Ottoman Turks, the Tartars, the Cossacks kept trying to invade Poland years before the Battle of Vienna. One time the Polish coffers were so empty because they were continually at war, defending their heritage the Christian heritage, the identity against Islamic invasion. So much so that their coffers were empty. When the next time the Islamic invaders started to enter into Europe on their way to Poland, General John III Sobieski, before he became king. This comes from his actual autobiography. He had to use his own money to raise up 20,000 troops against a force of 400,000. In today's mind, no one would believe a force of 20,000 would be able to defeat 400,000 enemy soldiers. That is where you are wrong. He knew they were outnumbered, but the Polish army knew that if they did not win, Poland would fall. At this time, Poland and Lithuania were united as one country. And so if they did not fight to win, Poland would fall, which would mean rest of Europe would fall. So he had to split up his army to send half around back of the enemy force to disrupt them, to cut off their supply lines, and just to harass them, when the other half attacked them full on. And he gave this signal for the other half to rejoin. Only 400 Polish soldiers died. Since it was in the custom of the Ottomans and their allies to carry back their dead and wounded, it's not sure how many thousands killed, but they left so fast and retreated in fear. That is what Sobieski and the Polish army put into the hearts of their enemy by fighting so ferociously to save their identity, to save Christendom, before the Battle of Vienna. And before the Battle of Vienna even started, you went to the meeting with all the other leaders and generals saying, "Give me the command of the Holy League army, for I know how to defeat an enemy like this." Because he did it before, and before, and before. Yet they didn't believe him. Because they did not know him. but the Polish army knew him. Right before he was ready to walk out, they granted him the full leadership. And he said, "We will not attack them how they suspect, but how they do not expect. From the Kahlenbergs, the great mountain behind where the Islamic Ottomans and their allies set up. But there was no roads to drag cannons up. But they got cannons up there and delivered a firestorm that caused so much fear and panic into the enemy that when the winged hussars took off, there was no match. And that's how the Battle of Vienna was won. So I say to you, where is your identity? Where is it? Where is that same spirit that saved Europe before? Why are you siding with Islam and Sharia when it is incompatible with the Christian identity of Europe? Why are you letting these unjust laws rule you when you know the European Union wants to rid the Christian identity and spirit out of Europe? Why are you allowing them to do this? Do not let them take your voice away. Do not let them take your spirit away. Fight at the election box. People of Yorkshire, do not sit back and allow your city to be overrun. Vote the local leadership government out. Put in a government that will keep you safe and remove this Islamic invasion. I urge you to urge Tommy Robinson to run for office. Get him to run for parliament with the backing of the people and the backing of the military. He can win, and he must. To the European Commission Court on Human Rights, why are you siding with Sharia law when you know full well what your people have suffered? All the terrorist attacks, all the grooming gangs attacks, all the physical violence assaults, all the sexual assaults, stabbing, shooting, bombings. If you're supposed to be a human rights court, how can you side with the human rights being violated in your country and throughout Europe? There are those good Muslims who do not want anything to do with Sharia. We don't want anything to do with Muhammad. And God bless them. And may they become Catholic. So the cross is the true sign of salvation. As Blessed Marco di Aviano said while holding up a cross on the Kahlenbergs while the Polish were setting up their cannons, and the Muslims saw it and turned their cannons towards the Kahlenberg and started firing. The priest who traveled with Marco was a little afraid, and Marco was like, "Come on, shoot at me, come on." Blessed Marco did not flinch. He kept talking to them in their own language, the Arabic, telling them that the cross is the true sign of salvation, while they fired their cannons at him, and he did not flinch. So, my dear Europeans, do not let your identity be erased. Protect it. Defend it. Learn your true history. Don't become like the Iraqi Christians. You don't know their history. Learn your history. Find the books on your actual history. Buy them. Read them. Study them. Share them. Do not let your identity go away. Do not let the identity of Europe die. It is the Christian spirit, the Christian identity, that makes Europe. Without Christ, there is no Europe. And that is what the European Union wants, a Europe without Christ. Don't let that happen. Keep Christ in Europe. Keep Christ in Britain, the UK. Keep Christ in mainland Europe. Know your faith. Learn your faith. Defend your faith. Learn your history. Be proud of your history. And defend your history. If you want to read the awful news about the European Human Rights Court, the reports linked into the show page. My last message to you. Dear Britain, wake up. Ireland, wake up. Your left-leaning officials are trying to erase your identity. Do not let them. Learn about the real St. Patrick. Learn about the Catholic English martyrs. Learn how Christianity came to the Isle of Britain. To the mainland Europe. Learn about your heroic Christian heritage. How it saved Europe time after time. And don't let it be erased by corrupted political officials in Brussels or in Strasbourg. To Mrs. S., you did nothing wrong. You did what is right. You said the truth. May God bless you for it. I close out with my usual Deus Vult. And now, the Polish-Lithuanian national anthem. Deus vult.